Welcome, everyone, to the Untitled Basketball Hot Take Podcast, where we discuss the hot news, the hot takes, and the hot posts of the online realm of basketball with your resident Warriors fan, Jared.
I'm Joe. I'm your resident Bucks fan.
And I'm Will. I'm the resident Wizards fan around these parts.
And for me and Will, it is a very sad time right now.
It's been a,
probably more sad for Will.
It's been a bad week for Warrior Wizards focused podcasts.
I'd just like to add that I'm doing great.
Yeah, I wanted to clarify that it's been a bad 23 years for me as a Wizards fan, so at least it's not new.
Before we get into the news, I want to add really quick that this is our first more distributed episode, and our first two episodes can be found on SoundCloud if you search the Untitled Basketball Hot Take Podcast. But now we're here, new and improved, gunning for most improved podcast award for end of the season.
Like DeAndre Jordan shooting free throws, we are absolutely gunning for most improved.
So I've decided this week that the Warriors so far this month have only played four games.
Why is that, Jared?
And I'd also like to say we're on a very nice four-game winning streak. That's your Warriors news for the week.
I've got something to add, actually, Jared, before we move on.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Just a quick take from one of the take masters, the true senseis of the takes world, and that's Colin Cowherd, of course. He says that Kevin Durant needs the Warriors more than he thinks. They provide three things he can't: leadership, muscle, and emotional stability.
I'd like to add in the Warriors are providing him with 14 other basketball players that he can try to compete for a championship with, which I have not seen Kevin provide on his own yet.
I mean, for Colin Cowherd to attack that Kevin Durant doesn't have any muscle, I mean, I know the guy has skinny arms, but that's just a low blow, I feel like.
There's some muscle there somewhere.
That's a classic just watched him get defended in the post by Chris Paul take. So break it down for us, Jared. What is happening with your Warriors? What's in the news?
You know, I think Draymond, who before has been really good at firing up Durant and himself in that process, got a little too excited and maybe far too defensive. I believe what they're saying his words were during this scuffle last week were something along the lines of, "You're a bitch. You know you're a bitch. We don't need you. We've won without you." And I think it made everyone very scared about Kevin Durant leaving in the offseason, which he's probably going to do anyways. And also, we have some injuries right now.
Yeah, the whole Steph Curry being hurt, I don't think it's doing the team any favors.
Yeah, I think that's more of why we're losing games more than this whole Draymond thing.
Yeah, I think I saw a stat today that maybe I should look back for the time frame, but say like since Kevin got there, or maybe just in the last 2 years or when Steph Curry wasn't playing, the Warriors are 19-18.
Like, yeah.
They've never been that good without Steph, whether Durant was there or not. The Warriors are Steph Curry, so like I'm very comfortable attributing the losing to Steph Curry not being there.
Yeah, I mean, look, without Kevin Durant, they've had some very good seasons, some record-breaking seasons, and without Curry, like when he's hurt, it's bad. Like the Warriors need Curry more than they need Durant.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And you could argue that, like, all around, Durant's a far better player. Because, I mean, he's a big boy. He can do more. He can do a lot of different things. He's, like, one of the best players in the league. But it's, like, Curry is, like, the puzzle piece that, finishes the puzzle. And then, like, Durant is just, like, this extra, like, gloss over it.
Mm-hmm. I want to be clear. I don't know if I'll have support from this on the podcast, but I actually genuinely believe that Steph Curry is the second best player in the league. I think he's actually better than Kevin Durant.
I can't argue that.
Yeah, that's tough to argue.
Yeah.
what gets me here is, so first, this is like, I love Kevin Durant and I love Draymond Green. This is like the only more painful like Sun battle I've had is when Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook go at it. That it just tears me to my core. But I expect this a little bit from Draymond. The part that gets me is the him yelling about like, we don't need you here, you're not wanted here. When we know it was Draymond who made the phone call to Kevin Durant after.
Yeah, he was the first guy to hit him up,
asking him to join the team. Like, you can't just take that back. You can't pretend that didn't happen. You asked him to come.
I think knowing that is what makes me think like this whole scuffle they had or argument or whatever like is not that big a deal as like it's being made out to be.
I mean
that's wishful thinking.
Yeah, but I just can't believe that it's never happened. Like the first time this ever happened was on national TV. Like Draymond had to have done this in practice before.
I mean, like yelling and like getting in arguments, like that's a normal thing in sports. Mm-hmm. That's a normal thing among friends.
That's like, why the Warriors and the Wizards are both so normal, and we don't need to delve into the second half of that sentence at all.
So let's get into.
I'd like to add just one more take about the Warriors before we move on. And this comes from our good pal, friend of the show, Charles Barkley. Chuck said on TNT, on television, that if the Warriors lose Kevin Durant, they are not contenders anymore. Jared, how do you feel about this?
Okay. Well, if you look at the season before the Warriors signed Durant, that's all. That's all I have to say.
It's not like they won 73 games or something. I mean,
well,
no.
I want to actually shout out to Chuck on this one for consistency, because I distinctly recall him saying the Warriors weren't that good all throughout that season anyways. So
yeah, I remember that as well.
He's sticking to his guns.
Yeah, you know, he's consistent about it. He's wrong.
But consistently wrong is truly what makes you a friend of the show here at the Untitled.
That's right.
Basketball.
That's absolutely right.
Because this is that's what we're about here. And this is a no fact zone. We don't need to check anything.
That's why I made sure I didn't know the exact dates for that 19 and 18 stat. Who knows if even that was even about.
You got to do extra research to make sure you don't know the exact dates. You learn the stat, but can't verify it.
We avoid here is what we do. So I'm going to give Will some time to prep his feelings before talking about the Wizards, since they are very near and dear to his heart and they have some things happening. So let's just skim over some small news. Fultz has been made inactive and he will be seeing a shoulder specialist. Everyone says, oh, the weirdest story just got weirder. Nah, it's just as weird.
Yeah, I think it remains weird.
We'll see how that turns out. We have J.R. Smith has been made inactive, and Cavs are actively pursuing a trade for him. He recently talked to The Athletic and said that he thinks the Cavs are trying to tank.
I also think that I don't know that that's a major news break or anything.
That's final straw. We're going to trade you from the Cavs now.
Yeah, I feel like accusing them of tanking is not hot.
I mean, they're like 2 out of 3 in the times they've tanked in getting superstars. They got LeBron, they got Kyrie, and then they got Anthony Bennett. But we won't delve into that.
Shouts out to Russell Westbrook having twins and naming them after the Air Jordan brand.
That's called loyalty.
Commitment is also what we're all about here.
Loyalty. Their names are Sky and Jordan, spelled both with Y's, like white people babies. Will, you ready to talk about the Wizards?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
I'd like to start off our Wizards talk with a quick headline. This comes from Deadspin. It just says, the Wizards are like if a Sarlacc took up residence underneath a burning, flooded carnival outhouse, per reports. Will, care to comment?
That sounds like the work of one Albert Bernico, noted noted Wizards fan, and you can tell with the rage that he always writes about the Wizards with that he truly follows the team. Because there are really only two emotions as a Wizards fan. There's rage and there's disappointment. Mm-hmm. But we're in a rough patch right now. So just in the past 2 days or so, the Wizards decided to take off a little heat off the Warriors. They decided there was too much heat on hometown boy Kevin Durant. And so they took over the headlines by everyone on the team essentially saying they hated each other. I think John Wall got into it with Scott Brooks and Jeff Green. Bradley Beal got into it with Austin Rivers and the general manager. There's at least one more beef that I'm forgetting here. An anonymous player said that essentially John Wall sucks and we all hate him. So it's really just been like the last 2 years totally condensed into one 24-hour period.
Amazing to me how quickly Dwight's presence has torn the team apart.
Exactly.
I don't think Dwight's beefing with anybody. I think he's the stabilizing force in all this. Just a large,
I don't know,
tatted up stabilizing force.
His constant farting is putting the entire team on edge. But I want to start off by saying that Bradley Beal, I want to give him a shout out, actually, because anyone who will publicly beef with Ernie Grunfeld is good in my book. I am so proud of him for screaming at Ernie in a practice and being mad about the entire Wizards organization, because that is the correct viewpoint to have.
True.
As much as a lot of the players deserve what's happening here, the problem is the Washington Wizards as an organization.
A true fan of the team.
Do you think he may have been inspired by Jimmy Butler?
Jimmy's got a... There's no young cat to really call out on the team, so they just are randomly sniping in the hopes that they find out who they should really be insulting right now.
Because, I mean, Jimmy did go to practice before being traded and say, you're not shit without me, you need me.
I can easily imagine Bradley Beal taking the third string, challenging the first string, and then somehow the game ending in a 0-0 tie after like an hour. But it's actually it's an odd spot, because right now the Wizards are playing the Clippers right now, and they kicked off the game by going down 21 in the first quarter. And they have rallied back to tie it up in the fourth, in what is really a perfect encapsulation of the Wizards, where it still seems like they'd be okay if they could bring themselves to try for a full game, but they never will. And it really starts at the top with the team. I am so tired of all of the takes ragging on the players and the owner and the GM. As much as the players are to blame, it starts at the top. And I don't get why we know that for some teams. We get that for Sacramento, we get that for Cleveland, but we don't for the Wizards. National level, and I'm really sad, guys. I had a brief period. I thought this might be good, and it's gone now. I actually am just wishing to be a bad team again, and really thankful that I have a college basketball team that's successful that I can root for. So I'll try to stop bringing the podcast so down as a whole.
It's okay. It's okay.
That music just played on its own. We didn't add that in or anything.
It was actually coming through my voice box simultaneously.
Yes.
So, Will, there's been a lot of trade talk with thoughts about the Wizards blowing it up, trading John Wall, trading Bradley Beal, mm-hmm. And such. There's been lots of hot ESPN trade machine takes from various sources. I just want to get your thoughts on this one for sure. What if Bradley Beal to Lakers?
Ooh.
Wizards receive Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Rajon Rondo. Lakers receive Bradley Beal, Kelly Oubre, and Thomas Bryant.
You know, if there's any personality the Wizards needs right now, it's Rondo's.
That's right.
And Brandon,
yet another stabilizing force.
Yes.
And Brandon, I want to fight everybody. Ingram would also be welcome. I'm not super excited. Off the bat, that's my initial impression. We seem capped out already on point guards who can't shoot, so I don't think I need another one. There's also been an interesting tendency recently to Everyone wants Beal. Beal's like the most attractive player on the roster, but no one's willing to give up anything for him, which while I still kind of understand, I need to reinforce that Beal is actually the only valuable asset on the team and is the only one who could fetch a decent return. So I would like Brandon Ingram to be decent at NBA basketball before I even thought about accepting that deal.
That's fair.
But would be great for the Lakers.
Yeah. I think so.
And isn't that what this trade is all about?
That's what the NBA is about.
That's what the bulk of NBA Instagram is about, is what could be good for the Lakers? That's what I found.
I've got a quick Lakers take that I think it might be a reason that Bradley Beal would be excited to play there. It's about JaVale McGee and the season he's been having. And
former Wizard.
Oh, yes, he is. And a former Warrior as well, of course. And this take is actually referencing his time with the Warriors. And this person is saying that JaVale is having such a good season because he finally has a teammate that elevates his game instead of exploiting his game. Little shots at Steph Curry here for exploiting JaVale McGee all the way to a championship.
What's the exploitation exactly?
How dare Steph pad his assist totals by tossing alley-oops to JaVale McGee? How dare he?
That's funny also because, JaVale is having like a much improved season. And it's really like, I'm happy for him. It's great to see. But I feel like that's also just reflective of actually having minutes to play.
Mm-hmm. Always helpful.
Yeah, I think that's a big factor here. On the Warriors, he did not get stable minutes.
But also, the Warriors was the only place he was going to get any minutes because I think the Warriors were like, at the time they signed him, it was like, this guy was out of the NBA. Why are you bothering to like bring him in? Yeah. He's like a known, jacked in a fool, like common.
It was like a redemption moment.
Right, right. No one else was wanting JaVale McGee. It's not like the Warriors like pulled the rug out from under some other team. No one was calling JaVale McGee. And the Warriors were like, we're good enough. We want to bring this guy back, or, you know, whatever their thought process was in bringing him in. Obviously, it worked out and paid off. And I'm also like happy for him to be back. He's fun. He's like,
yeah,
ridiculously fun to watch.
And he's proved that he belongs in the league. Also, like, really funny to see DeMarcus Cousins follow in JaVale McGee's footsteps. Not something I would have expected a few years ago. We have any other trades?
I did see another one also to the Lakers that it was Bradley Beal for, I think, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Moritz Wagner, and three other players. It was like a six for one trade. Like the Wizards would have to release a full lineup just to make that trade happen.
I'm actually with that one because, as we know, Vivek Randaviv had the revolutionary idea a couple of years ago of playing 4-on-5 so someone could cherry pick. I think the Wizards are taking a step further and they're going to play 10-on-5 at all times on the court. And so they're going to need a lot more players.
Never been done. Never been done.
Yeah, this would be a first.
Revolutionary.
Watch them again.
That's the Wizards for you. They revolutionize the league by letting Jan Mahimi take virtual reality free throws, and next 10-on-5 basketball.
Very interesting, very new.
Fellas, I've been doing a lot of thinking with the holiday coming up, with Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving coming up, and I'm feeling very thankful. And I was just curious if there were any takes out there that you fellas were feeling thankful for.
I'm feeling kind of thankful.
Yeah, me too.
Definitely. That, you know, with everyone saying the Warriors suck now, that I can talk about being a fan online again.
Ooh, that's nice.
I'm no longer accused being a bandwagoner, accused of liking snakes, accused of being unfair. Now that we're bad, I can openly feel pride.
That's beautiful.
I like how
it's very general.
Them being bad is still tied for first place in the Western Conference. Jared.
Yes.
Look, especially after a year year where they actually weren't first in the Western Conference and still won the championship.
We don't need to talk about
that. That's scarring for you. I've been very thankful recently for rookies. I've always loved watching young players, but there's something beautiful about a first-year player in the NBA and just the pure heat of a take that they can generate with their play. And I've gotten, in the past couple of days, a couple of incredible takes about rookies that have crossed my view. One of them here is it's two rookies in one. And it said that there is no evidence to suggest Luka Doncic is a better passer than DeAndre Ayton.
I mean, there's evidence. I mean,
there one of them has almost an entire professional career of evidence.
Almost.
I assume he must be referring to, I've never seen DeAndre Ayton pass the ball. So how could we know?
Listen, I don't watch basketball, so how am I supposed to know?
There's no evidence. I think even better is this one. It starts, so when are we going to have the convo? Which any take that starts with that question is great. Yep. Because in very every true. Scenario, either it's a conversation no one should be having, or it's a conversation that everyone's having, and you're pretending it's not. But so when are we going to have the convo about Trae Young being better than Chris Paul?
When he can defend Kevin Durant in the post.
Great.
I'm thinking maybe 7 years when Chris Paul is retired and Trae Young's an NBA player.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be a good time for it.
Yeah, when he's better than Chris Paul.
I'm glad we could cover that up. It's been some fun takes, and I'm very thankful for the rookies in the NBA.
It's been a good online take time. The start of the season always brings, online basketball Twitter back, and it's always pretty wild.
I've got a rookie related take as well that I'm pretty thankful for. I guess I'm thankful for the term career renaissance. I think it's such a great term.
Ooh.
I guess I'll pose it to the podcast. How long of a career does one need to have to also have a career renaissance in the NBA? I guess I picture Vince Carter, kind of recreating himself into more of a three-point shooter, a support player. That would be like a career renaissance. Or maybe like Sean Livingston, like returning from injury to be this like contributor on a championship team. Like that's a version of a career renaissance for sure. I don't know if you guys can think of any other examples.
Those are both very good examples. Okay,
so we're on the same page. Like a fairly long career, maybe like a decade in the league or so, at least.
Yeah.
Anyway, the title of this article is De'Aaron Fox's career renaissance should give Cleveland Cavaliers fans hope. Really happy for De'Aaron and his career renaissance from year one to year two.
Good job.
You did
long it. Time coming.
I think we all knew he really hit rock bottom in year one.
And yeah. Rookies always do so well in their first season and then continue to not do well in their second season. It's been evidenced time and time again.
To be fair, I would also have assumed that a guard being drafted by the Kings would be hitting rock bottom.
Hmm. Yeah, that's, you've got a point. Anyway, the article goes on to say that since De'Aaron Fox has done so much better thus far in his second season, Cleveland fans should still be excited about Colin Sexton and not give up on him 15 games into his rookie season.
Have they already given up?
Apparently the veterans on the roster have.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think we're only about 2 weeks removed from a bunch of a couple of Cleveland Cavaliers veterans coming out saying that they don't like Colin Sexton and he doesn't understand how to play basketball.
Who are the veterans?
Oh, it's anonymous.
Oh.
You don't say that kind of stuff on the record.
Well, yeah, but like I need to look at this roster.
Who on that roster has the right to be mad about it? Well, being bad?
The article goes on to say that last year De'Aaron Fox played most of his time behind George Hill before George Hill was traded to Cleveland. And now George Hill is on Cleveland with Colin Sexton. So maybe George Hill and the presence of George Hill is the problem. That's my take. That's my take. Is George Hill being on your team the reason a young point guard doesn't play well?
We know for sure that George Hill is the reason that George Hill doesn't play well. So I don't think it's that big to have a take another step. Blame the young point guards on him too. I was like, George Hill in Sacramento. What was that deal? Like 3 years, $57 million, something like that?
Yeah, it was a pretty spicy deal.
That was an all-time lack of effort stint with a team. It was a joy to watch how much he didn't want to be on the floor when you were in Sacramento.
I mean, it made him truly fit in there.
Really, really maintained the culture of the team.
Absolutely.
I really like this article, this headline, especially if there's just no accompanying article. And the idea was just that, hey, if De'Aaron Fox can be good, anybody can. He should give hope to every team.
I think everyone should just hang out with George Hill and become a better point guard.
Right.
After you stop being friends with him.
The order of things that has to go on, seemingly.
Here's a take, not necessarily thankful for it. It doesn't apply to me too much, but you know, we might as well segue into our take segment anyways, where, you know, we just discuss the best takes we've seen from the online. This is our first submission. It is a screenshot of Reddit. Thank you to our buddy, friend of the show, Donnie Boy Donald, sends me the screenshot from r/NBA from written by BoostedBob100K. Are the Lakers the best team in the West? After what we've seen from the Warriors falling apart, I think the Lakers might be the best team in the West. They certainly have the best player and one of the best coaches, if not the best. I'm really high on Luke Walton. And then they have the best depth, I think. You can run them 1 to 12 deep and have quality rotation players, playmakers at every position. They remind me of an early version of this Warriors team. And with so much young talent, they're only going to get better as the season goes on.
What do you guys think? Early versions of this Warriors team when they had the best player in the world at his peak prime, surrounded by young talent.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Before needing a different coach.
Yes.
I like saying the like, are the Lakers the best team in the West? You know, with the Warriors struggling. Like, there's not also seven more teams better than the Lakers.
I gotta agree about the depth, though. As we discussed on previous episodes, the Lakers, I mean, 2 through 12, pretty much the same caliber player, like top to bottom. So, yes. I mean, he's not wrong about the depth.
It's the best way to build a team for a coach who has trouble with rotations. Is just be like, all your players are equal in caliber. Who cares who you put out there?
Let's take this real life situation and plug it into NBA 2K, where you get a team like this, your team does fall apart because then everyone wants more minutes than each other in the My GM mode and they all start complaining.
You don't want to be breaking promises to any of your players either.
And we do know that when Rondo is unhappy, Rondo is not good.
We know that when Rondo's unhappy, everyone is unhappy.
And everyone's not good.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a lengthy take, but
thinking Luke Walton is maybe the best coach in the NBA is like, that's not just like high on Luke Walton. That's delusionally high on Luke Walton. Like, you're saying Luke Walton's a better coach than Brad Stevens or Greg Popovich or Dwayne Casey or like name 15 other coaches.
Yeah, where is Luke Walton? Like, he's I don't think
Steve Kerr. Like, come on. Luke Walton is not a top 10 coach in the NBA right now.
Like, he's not a bad coach, but, you know, this is what makes him perfect to be with this Lakers squad, as he also, you know, fits into that 2 through 12 depth.
It's true.
You guys have any takes?
I've got one. Wizards related. It comes from Instagram, which is always ripe with plenty of takes. There's lots of basketball accounts on Instagram. This is just a random one. It says, John Wall and Bradley Beal are the most underachieving and disappointing duo since Tracy McGrady and Yao Ming.
Now, this is a fun take.
That seems hurtful on multiple levels.
That's how I felt too.
What did Tracy and Yao do to anybody?
Not win a championship?
Apparently they were just massively disappointing.
I get there were injury problems, but that seems a little harsh. Mm-hmm. I will say I am frantically trying to think of more disappointing duos in my head to try to defend my boys. And it's not going well so far. They're out there.
Andrew Bynum and Kobe.
Yeah.
I do think there's a bit, if you're too disappointed by like Wall and Beal, I think it's similar to the people who are way too disappointed in like Dwight Howard, where it's really their fault for thinking he is something he's not.
Oh no, it'll be different this time.
If you're for like all the people who are mad that Dwight Howard wasn't Shaq in his career, like that's on you. That's not on Dwight Howard. Don't expect people to be Shaq. Dwight Howard's like 6'10 or something. Like it was absurd. And like Wall and Beal, I love them. They're hopefully still good players. They at least seem to have a pretty good night tonight. But if making the second round of the playoffs a few times is massively, massively underachieving to you, then you should probably reevaluate how good you think those two were in the first place.
Did you say that Beal had a good night tonight?
Oh, well, he kind of closed the fourth quarter strong, which is strange considering he was very clearly concussed.
Yeah, this by the way, happened right before we started recording. Collision between Wallace and Beal.
Tyrone Wallace and Beal, yes.
Yeah, during the Clippers-Wizards matchup.
Just a little noggin bump. Nothing worth being removed from the game for.
Bradley Beal could not have had more glazed over eyes. And when this happened, there were 30 seconds left in the third quarter, and they put him out there to finish the quarter. He didn't even get the long break.
He put up a shot, right? He put up a shot immediately.
He missed to the shock of no one.
This brings you back to when Kevin Love got that bad concussion and they kept him on the court and he just started walking around like he was lost.
Truly, the concussion protocol in the NBA is...
It's not good.
Utter joke. They just pretend they don't happen.
Yeah. But then after they're like, oh yeah, this is a big deal actually. Now that it's very obvious that he has a concussion.
We'll take it serious.
2 days later.
He finished the game.
It'd be impressive, but like he's not going to remember it to be proud of.
He's going to come back to practice and yeah, reporters are questioning him. So you said 7 years. 7 years you've been? He's like, no, I've only been here 3 years. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the boys, the team and I had a great discussion the other day. Just very excited about the team and the direction we're heading.
Bradley Beal doesn't understand all this negative energy because he's just focused on preparing for this playoff series with the Atlanta Hawks.
The Kyle Korver, Al Horford, Jeff Teague-led Atlanta Hawks, yes. Paul Millsap, forget him. The fourth all-star on that team.
Can't forget Millsap. Will, really quick, I have a take for you that I think you... Will Love, you've probably already seen it. It was making the rounds because I know you're a big Westbrook fan.
Oh, yeah.
This is a tweet from @WestGoat. Russell Westbrook in the past 2 years gets married, $205 million contract, baby Nono was born, triple double average, MVP, gets Paul George to OKC, another triple double average, gets Paul George to stay long term, has twin girls. The man just does it all, and the media still hates him. And then I want to add a reply from Thunder Poodle. And he's solid. No drama in his personal life, person two. Loves his parents. All around great guy.
Where's the lie? First of all, great Twitter handles. Second of all,
yeah, very
God, good. Most important thing about Westbrook is that he loves his parents.
That's the thing I look for in every player.
No one else in the league can say that.
No. Not at all.
They weren't there loving their parents in the gym.
His just natural athletic ability to have twins. Amazing. Amazing.
Having twins with a third child already in your family. Talk about a triple-double.
All right.
On to the next thing. Next take.
Whoa.
I want to be clear that, like, we joke, but that is the level of Russell Westbrook fan that I am. Like, that's something I would, like, sincerely say. I'd be like... What's wrong with you? Come on, this guy loves his parents and he has kids. Goodness, stop it. One of the things I like that does kind of encapsulate one of the things I really love about Russ, though, which is I feel pretty certain, like 85% maybe, that when Russell Westbrook retires and leaves the NBA, we will just never hear from him again.
Yeah, I could see that.
He's going to ghost. I don't really think he cares about basketball all that much. Like, he's super competitive and he tries and whatnot, but I don't think, like, basketball is important to him like a lot of some of these other guys. And I just think he's going to be gone. You might, if you pay attention to, like, weird fashion, see him again. But otherwise, I doubt it.
I'm just going to use this parent-loving defense for every player that's bad, even if I don't like them.
I want to take that old famous Clay gets no respect take and substitute in Russ loving his parents.
Oh, yes. I believe I have that take saved.
If you could pull that up and just give us one read through.
This is, I don't have who wrote it. We'll retweet it on our Twitter account. But this is from a couple, 2 years ago?
Yeah. So tweeted,
Clay scored 37 and a quarter and no one posts shit. But Blake Griffin does mediocre and everyone goes nuts. Stop disrespecting my Warriors. I'm sick and tired of people sleeping on us, but they gonna see.
This was like post-championship winning Warriors. This wasn't like 5, 6, 7 years ago before they were at that level. This was like amidst a championship run, at least one or two of them.
This was when Blake put up like, 16 and a half?
Yeah, that's pretty sure that's during the, it was during the 73-9 season, right?
They're sleeping on us.
Maybe.
It was either that one or the one.
Anyways, why were we pulling this up again?
Because that is a take I'm extremely thankful for.
I'm so thankful for that.
I get so much use out of it, and I'm just really having fun imagining, like, Russell Westbrook loves his parents and no one posts shit, but the crew in DC fucking losing their mind.
I just, like, imagine if Westbrook did something on a very controversial, bad level. Let's say, like, you know, like when Rondo said very homophobic words to the in-the-closet refs.
Yes.
And then, like, just imagining people defending him. Like, yeah, but he loves his parents. Come on. Come on.
It works for everything.
I've got a take I found that's Kevin Durant related. Another one from Instagram, NBA Instagram. KD without an all-star point guard is just Trevor Ariza.
Wow. Trevor Ariza with shooting ability is just Kevin Durant.
Trevor Ariza is a pretty good shooter.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm pretty sure Trevor Ariza won a championship while not playing with an all-star point guard. So
this is also
is true. Our conclusion here that Kevin Durant without an all-star point guard is a championship caliber player?
I think so. There's no no further elaboration. So
can we talk about Trevor Ariza for a minute?
I always want to.
Yeah.
Because ever since he left the Rockets, I haven't heard anything about him.
Well, he's on the Suns, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I know that's like a side effect of being in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. I think about sometimes how weird it was for him to, of all the teams in the league, go to where this team already has like two starter quality small forwards.
Let's see how anonymous his season has been real quick. Sight unseen for all of us. Yeah. Everyone submit a guess. How many minutes has Trevor Ariza played this season?
Average?
Total minutes. What do you think his total minutes are?
Oh, total if you're asking minutes. Total minutes, it's got to be pretty low. 100.
Well, 120.
Really? I'll go a little nuts. I'll go up to 190. All right, let me folks, this is live. We are doing this live. Checking Basketball Reference.
Winner
I do know
all.
He's on a 1 year like $15 million contract, so
whoa. He has played 477 minutes already.
Wow. Trevor, good for you, man.
He's playing 34.1 minutes per game.
Wow.
Anonymous season he's having out there in Phoenix.
Maybe that's what he wanted.
That is
he was sick of being
team.
In State Farm ads with James Harden and Chris Paul and Oscar from The Office and just wanted to get out of Dodge, get in that dry heat, and help a young team win. Maybe.
Real quick, this brings back to the old, well, it's not that old, it's a couple weeks old, argument of is Chris Paul a bad teammate? And there is one major factor to why he may be a bad teammate, and it's because he makes these guys do his shitty commercials.
That's unforgivable.
No good teammate would be like, hey, State Farm ad. That's consistently not fun to watch.
Although Trevor Ariza in the State Farm ad was having fun singing the song. It was James.
Arguably the best performance in any of those ads.
speaking of old arguments, I understand that Joe, you might have a slightly older take for us.
Yeah, so I think this will become a segment. Just a take from the past, a retro take, sourced from all over the internet. Just one to think about. Hot takes often don't go the way we think they will. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. This one, very,
very good old ones, really quick. Very good old ones in our last two episodes.
Yeah, the last two episodes are both sourced from Yahoo Answers, which is a great website that was primarily used in the late 2000s for basketball takes, and among other, you know, life questions, obviously. This one does not come from Yahoo Answers anyway. It comes to us from, again, another just take master, Mike Wilbon. And this was written...
Oh, boy.
This was written during the summer amidst LeBron's free agency decision this past summer. And it's about LeBron. And the title of the article, which we will delve into, is Washington, D.C. is the stage large enough to fit LeBron James. There's a place nobody's asking about that's calling LeBron James's name, Washington, D.C. Well, Mike, let's pause for a second. There's a reason nobody's calling LeBron James' name there.
Nobody's talking about it, but what Michael is hearing is me outside in D.C. going, LeBron, please.
Washington, not Los Angeles, is the most powerful city in the world. Washington, not Houston, is where every significant issue relating to sports, from steroids to chronic traumatic encephalopathy. We're going to edit this out. I'm going to start over because I'm not even going to read that sentence again. Washington, not Philly, is where you apply to the National Park Service to convene a rally to call national attention to gun control, women's rights, or Black Lives Matter.
Wow.
All right, Mike. Yeah, sure.
That might be compelling if LeBron showed a desire to do any of that, like he has shown a desire to make movies and television shows.
Yeah, does Wilbon understand that television is a thing now?
It would not appear so.
Hollywood is not located in Washington, D.C.
Wilbon is like, he's been watching too much Game of Thrones, and he sees LeBron trying to like move out to L.A., and he's like, he's consolidating power. He's
right.
He's so empty.
That's exactly what he goes on to say. Washington, D.C. is where he can all at once pursue his championships, earn hundreds of millions, and make a glorious noise of protest, agitation, or advocacy.
Okay, saying you can pursue a championship in Washington, D.C. is just a flat lie.
I know, that was the one part of it I was like, okay, Wilbon, come on.
Be real.
It's funny how that's the line on like a team that looks better than the Cavs.
It's the Wizards at the end of the day. And I know the Cavs are dysfunctional too, but I feel like LeBron powered up a little bit from like being in his hometown. And there's a little extra push there. But if you put LeBron on the Wizards, Bradley Beal earlier this season famously said that when he saw Jeff Green play, he was like, yo, he's basically as good as LeBron. That's because if you put LeBron on the Wizards, he'd be as good as Jeff Green.
The article, he goes on to say, oh, do we need to talk about the basketball portion of this equation for a moment? Yeah, Mike, we probably should. Okay, here's how it would work. Since the Wizards don't have the salary cap room to simply recruit and sign LeBron, great start, he'd have to opt in on the final year of his current deal and do so with the stipulation that the Cavaliers trade him to the Wizards. Yeah, sure. Yes. The Wizards would have to give up Otto Porter, Kelly Oubre, and at least one first-round pick, and perhaps have to manipulate the roster like the club has never done before.
Ooh, tantalizing.
It's typically how
LeBron would surely want to play with John Wall and Bradley Beal, which would give the team today's requisite three stars, not to mention veterans much more battle-scarred than, say, the young Los Angeles Lakers, who have yet to be humbled by the NBA playoffs. He throws in a shot to the Lakers. I love it.
You don't want to go there. They suck.
Like all Wilbon knows, like all NBA big threes, what you want is for none of them to be big men and only one of them to be able to shoot.
Yes.
Typically how it works.
Absolutely. I'm just trying to like take this all in. Like with most of the throwbacks, there's a lot.
It's a lot to, I'm sitting here really trying to grasp. Like this is what's helping me is that this take is coming from the same man who said that true shooting percentage can't be real because it can go over 100%. And that's not how this is.
That's an all-time take, like top five all-time.
Absolutely. I mean,
yeah.
He wrote an article essentially saying that analytics are not for black people because I do not like them. So this might be one of his better takes in a way.
Well, Bond's like the embodiment of hot take.
He really is.
I think we could start calling him a friend of the show.
We could run this entire show just by watching old episodes of PTI.
Or Around the Horn, yeah. Get Woody Page in here. Oh, Frank Isola.
I'm tapping out.
Bob Ryan. Here we go. Let's get the big guns in here. Yeah, that's, I mean, I guess the closing line that Wilbon has in this article is, with what LeBron James has done since the age of 18, even with 21st century scrutiny and unrelenting pressure, is create a remarkable profile, his athletic agenda pursuable wherever he goes. But his sense of activism is still developing and evolving, in need of a platform, a grand and international stage that only one city in America can provide. Very deep, Mike. And also very wrong.
You don't need Cameron. You don't need publication. You just need to be where the politicians
also, are. Does he know, like, Twitter exists? Instagram exists? Like, you can be an influencer anywhere.
Like, LeBron, almost inarguably, maybe it's arguable, he's a good guy. But, like, the best thing LeBron has done is open a fully funded public school back in Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. Yes. It was so cool. But like he didn't have to be in Washington, D.C. to do that.
No. And also like I just saw a trailer the other day for like a documentary series that he's part of. And I believe it's called Shut Up and Dribble, which also like he also just released that other. Was that talk show?
Yeah. The one in the barbershop.
Yeah. Which is very cool. I've seen a little bit of it. I need to watch more, but so far I've enjoyed it. But he would not have done that in DC.
Actually, if you go watch these shows, there's usually a small Easter egg where the set that they're filming on will kind of it'll fall down a little bit, it'll crumple, and you'll be able to see the Capitol building and the Washington Monument.
Okay. All right, well, my bad.
he leaves Lakers games early to fly into DC to film these things. But that's really what Wilbon wasn't considering, is that he could just do that.
Yeah. I think Wilbon just assumed, like, it goes without saying.
But I'm going to say it anyway. And that's what hot takes is all about. Mm-hmm.
Another great retro take from Joe.
Very good. So really quick, I have a live take because while we record these, I do keep a search tab open and look for some takes for just immediate reaction. I'm sure there's a lot of these, honestly, but this is a tweet from... A recent tweet from D Groovy, NBA hot take: the Western Conference is finally weaker than the Eastern Conference. So with that, let's go over to the standings to compare the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. If we look at the worst team in the West, it's the Suns, 3-13. Second worst team are the Wolves, 7-10. Let's go up. 7-9. Let's go up 8-9, 8-8, 9-8, 8-7. Those are the bottom eight teams.
Some winning records.
In the West. Let's go to the East. Just going to work the way up really quickly. 2-13, 3-14, 4-13, 4-13, 5-11, 6-10, 7-10. That's the Eastern bottom eight.
I'd recognize that 5-11 anywhere, my beloved. I think the conferences are an interesting spot right now, where like as you've shown, the bottom of the West is much stronger than the bottom of the East, and obviously the best team in the West is better than everyone, but like the five best teams in the East are like way better than the five best teams in the West.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I think that's what's new for everybody. I think that's what they're like, oh, like the reasonable, like top to mid level of each conference, the East is stronger. But yeah, I mean, there is still just the drop off after like the Pacers or maybe the Pistons is just brutal.
Yeah. Eastern top four right now are the Raptors, 14-4, looking great.
Phenomenal.
The Bucks, 12-4, also looking great. So they're both amazing teams. Then we have the Pacers, 11-6. And then we have the Sixers, 12-7. And then we just have a little bit of a drop-off to the Pistons, who are 8-6. And then the Celtics, who are 9-8.
Yeah, it'll look, maybe look a little bit better once the Celtics do a quick roll call and remember that they're supposed to be good at basketball.
Right, right.
Yeah. I guess while we're here, while we're on it, well, let's look at the top five Western teams. I'm on the ESPN website right now.
Conference standings. You can only get this on this podcast, folks. Don't think you can just look this.
Only here, and definitely not where I'm reading it from on ESPN.com. Number one, Portland Trailblazers, 11-5, tied with the Grizzlies, 11-5, tied with the LA Clippers, 11-5, and then we have at fourth, 12-6 are my sweet sons, the Golden State Warriors. Why must they fight? Then we have the Thunder, 10-6. Then I'll just go down all the way. Nuggets are 10-7. Pelicans are 10-7. Lakers are 9-7.
I do love that when the Thunder started, what was it, like 1-5? It was bad. It was a bad start.
That was very fun for me.
All of the nice takes where it was like, look, I know that it's early, but is it time to worry about them making the playoffs with how good the West is? And then 2 weeks later, they're 10-6, solidly in there. And like the teams above them are the Grizzlies.
Like, oh, yeah. This might be hot, but I think that Mike Conley should be in the MVP conversation, looking at how trash that team was last year versus them winning more than five games already this year.
Did you know Mike Conley's never made an All-Star game?
I did. Like, it's a shame.
He's one of those players, unless, I mean, I don't know what his stat lines are this year, but a point guard in the West, it's kind of hard to leapfrog a few Currys and Lillards and Westbrooks. But he might be one of the better. He's got to be in the conversation of like all-time best players who have never made an All-Star game.
I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league.
Mike Conley is so underrated, he actually got the label of underrated and stayed underrated somehow. Everyone else who gets that is underrated, but he didn't. He stayed that way. Like, I just the other day, little bonus take, saw someone say that, I forget which direction they were coming at it from, but they essentially said that Alex Smith is the Mike Conley of the NFL. And I was like, that is so disrespectful to Mike Conley. Good heavens. I don't have anything necessarily against Alex Smith, but Mike Conley is not a game manager at point guard. Right.
Current stats on these 16 games are 19.6 points, 3.2 total rebounds, 5.9 assists.
That's borderline all-star caliber, but when you're going up against Curry or Lillard or Westbrook that you've got to leapfrog, among others, Chris Paul, like, it's hard to leapfrog those guys.
Now, while the Western Conference, the order, I guess right now it does look a little bit weak, but do you think this order will stay anything close to, will this order finish anything close to what it's at right now?
I don't think so. I think the Grizzlies are a little high and the Clippers are a little high. I don't think they're not necessarily playoff caliber teams. Like, the Grizzlies with Gasol and Conley healthy are definitely a 5-8 seed at least.
I feel like the Pelicans are a little low right now.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously the Rockets, who are not even in the top eight right now. And the Spurs are a little low.
There's still a solid amount of shifting and settling that needs to happen out west.
Absolutely. What about east, though? Because honestly, east looks like believable as like an end of season order.
A couple of seeds could change, but really, those are the teams that are decent. You get those top six, and you're like, all right, that's who matters.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
I think the Celtics will move up. I think they'll figure it out, and, you know, Celtics will be two or three seed when it's all said and done, I think. But
if there's a team I see dropping, it is the Magic, who are currently the seventh seed.
We'll see.
Someone has to take their spot, and everyone below them in the Eastern Conference is playing like they would like nothing more than to never enter the playoffs. So
very true. Maybe with the exception of the Nets, they're trying their best, but they remain the Nets.
They do. It turns out having talented basketball players is important.
Also, I mean, they were looking pretty good a couple games, but losing Chris LeVert, I feel like that's a pretty heavy blow for them.
Yeah. Happy for him, though, that it's not worse. It could have been.
Oh, he can return like this season. That's amazing.
It's unreal.
I know, Will, you said you had an ending thinker.
I do.
I think we both have one.
Okay.
So you can pick who goes first.
Do we want to give the listeners our social media info and all that sort of stuff before we do the thinker? And then we can do the thinkers and close it out.
Yeah. Let's plug our Twitter account where you can send us your own hot takes. You can send us screenshots of hot takes. You can just, you know, follow the discussion. We tweet about some of the games we watch with our own hot takes and Will's own frustrations. And that is... Joe, you
it
have
is at Untitled Hot Take on the Twitter. And yes, our submissions inbox is pretty much wide open right now. So if you send us one, there's a pretty good chance it'll make it on the next podcast or a podcast in the near future.
Whatever platform you're listening to this on, our tag should be in the description. So we should be findable. And of course, our first two episodes are on SoundCloud. You search our name, the Untitled Basketball Hot Take Podcast. So should we get into some thinkers?
We should. How about you go first? I feel like with mine, we'll end on a positive note.
Oh, that makes me even more scared. let me combine these two, because one's from a take that I didn't make because overall the take's just okay. But this opener on this take, we don't need to read the whole thing. This is from Redo20. Draymond Green or the poorest of poor man's Dennis Rodman. That's just a comparison. That's really fun.
That's a bit harsh for a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer in Draymond Green.
Right.
Then we have white privilege is just Jerry West being the NBA logo.
Oh, that's a good one.
One of my favorite lines in NBA 2K right now is like, in my team, you can get a Jerry West player you play with, and the commentator will comment on it. And when Jerry West makes a play, he's like, he can shoot, he can pass. That's why they call him the logo. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure they call him the logo because he's on the logo. Like, that's...
he's also doing neither of those things on the logo. Yeah.
That's also like two fundamental basketball activities.
Really quick, that tweet, I want to give credit to that last tweet. The Jerry West one. That is from at Work Hard Live Well, Terrence.
Good advice and a good tweet. That's great.
Very good. All right, take us away.
One last one to grow on for everyone. This comes from user at Thomas Awful, Thomas Awful, and go ahead, find this tweet. We'll retweet it on our account. Give it some engagement. It's criminally underrated. But maybe think about how lucky this makes you to be an NBA fan and watch this incredible league. Someone tweeted, the Chiefs are the first team in NFL history to score 50 points and lose. And Thomas Offel quote tweeted it with, pathetic, teams in the NBA do this every fucking night.
We're truly blessed.
Blessed and highly favored.
Well, I believe that's our show for the week. Thank you for listening. And you know where to
play
find us.
Play us out, sad piano music.
All right, Will. May you have a better week.
Go Wizards.
Make good trades happen. Joe, I don't know what to say about you. You're having a fine time as a Bucks fan.
It's been going well. I hope it continues.
May my strong and good Warriors boys stop fighting. It's going to be okay.
Please.
Listen to Papa Kerr and listen to Durant. Shit happens. It's going to be okay. And everyone listening, your team's going to be okay too.